Here we go. All right, so permutations. Yeah, so I have a little red Nano, and I turned in my old iPod for a 10% discount. So that was great.
You can do that?
Oh, because it's really the whole department you can use. Where's my clicker? Anyone see my clicker? Thank you. Awkwardly, right there. No, because I don't want to pay for downloading things onto that. I want them only online. So I gotta adjust that thing. I know how to do that. Okay, permutation. Now, yesterday we talked about the fundamental theorem of counting, which is sort of the general thing that will always work when order matters. We're gonna deal with something called a permutation, which is also a slightly more specific situational formula that will not always work, but will work sometimes when order matters. It doesn't always work. You have to play around a little bit when you're dealing with these specific placement problems. But in general, this formula can be used whenever fundamental theorem of counting is going to be used. So if you're nervous about using this formula, go back to fundamental theorem of counting. Okay. A permutation. Now, this is the first idea. It's just the concept. A permutation of n elements taken r at a time is an ordered arrangement without repetition of r of the n elements, and it is called NPR, and that is the formula. And once you take a moment to look at that and write down what you feel that you need, we're going to translate it into English. Looks like it makes no sense, right? And it doesn't seem to make sense. I look at that and be like, well, what does that mean? Okay, so. Do you remember the problem we did yesterday that talked about making four-letter words with, and we did just the plain old four-letter words. So we made four-letter words. And the blanks were 26, 25, 24, 23. Make sense? Remember that one? Okay. A permutation, okay, that's the name for this expression, of n elements. N stands for all the possible choices. R stands for how many you take at a time. So this four-letter word problem was a permutation of 26 letters, four at a time. Now, you guys might be used to calling it combinations. I want to look at four-letter combinations, because in English, I personally use the word combination. The combination of ABC, to me, is different than the combination BAC. In math, that's actually called a permutation. When the order matters, ABC and BAC are different things. If you are dealing with mathematically a combination, ABC and BAC are the same thing. Okay, so it's an ordered arrangement, and notice without repetition, that's what we said on this problem, there was no repetition of R of the N elements, and it's called NPR. So essentially what happens is you're looking at a whole set of elements, and we're going to take a group of them at a time, and there's no repeats. You can't use this when you can repeat the letters. All right? This is only when you can't repeat the letters. And the phrase we use is NPR. And I'll show you how to do it on your calculator, too. So if you have your calculator, get that out. And it's equal to the factorial of the entire set over the factorial of the difference of the two numbers. And let me show you how it works out here. Then we'll use calculators. So here, this would be, what would go in the top if this is my NPR?
26.
Factorial over 22 factorial. Now tell me what 26 factorial represents.
26
times 25,
24,
23, 22, 21, down to 1. What does 22 factorial represent?
22 down to 1.
Oh, so everything from here to here, all down, what happens? It's going to cancel, and what are you left with? The first four numbers. Oh, look what we figured out it was yesterday, the first four numbers. Oh, isn't that cool? Now, how do you do it on your calculator? Okay, on a graphing calculator or on a the 30s or the 80s, you have to start by putting n in. So you're going to want to put 26, then, okay, got to keep track of your calculator. If you have a graphing calculator, press the math button again, go over to probability again, and look for the NPR, not NCR, select that. And you'll see, it'll say 26, and then it'll say NPR. You type in 4, and you'll get the number. Now type 4. And hit enter. And that was the number from yesterday. If you don't have that button...
I got it, but I just can't read my calculator. It's all like...
Oh, well, fuzzy. Now, where's your probability stuff?
It's right here.
It's under NPR. Good. Okay, so, did you find yours? Find yours? Everyone else find theirs? You got it? Nope. Okay. Okay. Remember the probability button from yesterday? Select NPR, so just hit enter, and then put in the 4.
Okay, got it.
You find it? Yeah. Anything probability-focused, finders, is going to be in the same place. Okay, Chris? All right. Anything probability-focused is going to be wherever your probability buttons are. And you're probably getting the same answer as yesterday, I hope, that 368,800 or something like that. Whatever. Okay. Can anyone think of anything else in life that might be a permutation? Something where the order you look at things matters. There is nothing wrong with the taping. There is actually dead silence right now. Awkward dead silence. What? Batting order. Batting order, the order matters. I mean, when people do batting orders, they certainly are going to put their good hitters. They put them in a certain position. Isn't it the number 3 and the number 4? They're always looking for that person who can bang a home run out. Order matter when you are opening a lock? And what's this called? A what lock?
Combination.
And it really should be called a permutation lock. Because the order you put the numbers matters. We could play around and figure out how many different ways, combinations they call them are. We could figure out how many different permutations they are. Because my 3 digits that help me open this every day, if I put them in the wrong order, it just doesn't work.
Didn't you say permutations only work if you can't repeat?
This one we would do a little differently. We would do it by fundamental theorem of counting. But it is a permutation in the basic idea of order mattering. You're right. Typically, you could repeat numbers on that. But typically, in theory, we want to delineate the difference between something where order doesn't matter as opposed to something where order does. But you're right. You're right. Okay. And again, there it is, big bold letters. Do not forget that order matters. If you use this when order doesn't matter, you're going to get the wrong answer. How many different 5-card hands of poker is not 52P5? Why did I choose 52? 52 cards. And why did I say 5? Number of cards in the hand. That is not a permutation because... order doesn't matter, the order you get the cards. Now, it does affect the odds as they're doing step-by-step odds as they're putting out the river card and, you know, all that stuff. But the river, the bend, isn't that what they're called?
No.
What's this?
The flop, the river, and the turn.
That's it. The flop, the river, the turn. Bend, turn, same thing. Okay. The flop, the river, the turn. They put out the 3 cards, they put out the first 2, then flop, river, turn. The order that they put those cards out doesn't change whether you win or not. It just changes your betting strategies and it changes how you think about the game. But someone who gets, you know, 3 kings but gets them in, like, in their hand and at the end as opposed to in their hand and at the beginning, it's still the same win. Okay. So let's look at writing things as permutations. If you are not comfortable using the permutation notation, and especially if order, and especially if you're looking at repetition, you can't use NPR. You can go back to using fundamental theorem of calculus, or counting. You can always fall back on that. But let's look at these problems and how they could be How many ways can four coins be arranged in a row? Does order matter? How many ways can four coins be arranged? Yeah, arrangements. That phrasing, how many ways can they be arranged in a row, that will be order mattering. Okay, how big is my entire set? Four. How many am I taking at a time? Four. I'm taking all four coins at a time. Okay, use your calculator and figure out what 4P4 is, and then we'll do it with the formula by hand. 4P4 is 24. Everyone getting 24 using your calculator? Got it? Okay. Now, let's look at the formula. The formula says it's n factorial over n minus r factorial. 4 minus 4 is what? Now, 0 factorial is the first thing we've seen that doesn't seem to make sense. Find 0 factorial on your calculator. It is 1. 0 factorial is defined to be 1. We talked yesterday about the fact that you can't do negative number factorials. 0 factorial is the one thing that doesn't make sense that actually is okay. We're defining it to be 1. So 4 factorial is 4, 3, 2, 1 over 1 is 12. And I tend to write things like that, 4, 3, 2, 1 in a row before I do the multiplication. You want to put a dot in between. But make sure you can tell the difference between the numbers you're multiplying and your answer. You don't want to think that answer is 4,321. Okay? 24. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Why is 0 factorial?
It has to be defined to be 1 for this to work. Why is your name Brienne? Because it is. I know. It's defined that way. You accept that sometimes definitions don't seem to make sense. If things have to be defined a certain way for them to work. Why is that defined to represent that? Because it is. There's a symbol and it's defined to represent something. You're right, it doesn't make sense, but it actually ends up working with every problem. If you allow 0 factorial to be 1, it always works. Okay? Okay. How about there's a club of 5 boys and 8 girls? The president will be a girl and the vice president will be a boy. And the secretary and a treasurer will either be a boy or a girl. How many councils are possible? Now this is one where, because you're mixing your sets, you kind of have to look at it a little differently. Let's look at it first by just the fundamental theorem of counting. We're choosing 4 representatives. Whenever roles are assigned a name, captain, assistant captain, president, vice president, thing one, thing two, whenever things are just assigned names, then order matters, okay? So I've got to choose a president. Let's just go fundamental theorem of counting. How many ways can I choose a president?
Eight.
President's going to be a girl.
Yeah, sorry,
You just looked at the numbers in that order. That's okay. How about, how many ways can I choose the vice president?
5.
How many ways then can I choose the secretary?
11.
Where did 11 come from?
One of the
13 people, and I've lost 2 people already. So 11 and then 10. $2,400? Okay, now, if you are doing this, this is a little hard to do by 5P or by the P's because it actually does, order does matter for part of it and doesn't matter for the other part. Your president is 8P1. The vice president is 5P1. And then the other two is order not mattering, and it's kind of weird. It ends up being,
don't do that.
Yeah, and what happens is I think this one ends up being 11C2. Oh, no, 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 wait. No, no, no. That's still 11P1. Or, oh, because you can't repeat. Sorry, this is ends up being 11P2. 1110 over 2, over, yeah, 1110 over 9 gone. Yeah. Because you're going to take two people. Oh, and they have roles. What am I saying? Of course it matters. Order does matter. Because one is going to be a secretary, one's going to be a treasurer. They're not governing councils. So this is, honestly, I'd look at this and be like, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm just going to go to fundamental theorem counting and think of it as 8, then 5, then 11, then 10.
Can you just
distribute
that and
multiply it? Distribute what and multiply it?
Those two terms by the 20 times times 4, you sort of 40 people.
Oh, no. No. Kind of have to be left alone. Okay, we're going to start, even though tonight you're not going to do anything, we're going to start with a little bit of an idea of what to do when order doesn't matter. I'm going to try something, and you're going to have to try it without looking ahead in the notes, because I'm going to group you guys and give you an assignment. But let's look at this. What if everyone in the class has to shake hands? Think about it logically. Jeff stands up and shakes everybody's hand. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, wait. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13. There's 14 of us today. So if Jeff shakes everybody's hands, how many handshakes is that?
13.
Now, Ned gets up and shakes everyone's hands. Is it still 13? Why is it 12? Because he shook Jeff's hand, so that one's out of the loop. And Evelyn stands up and shakes everybody's. You're going to have 11 now. So if the order it shakes doesn't matter, you end up dividing 16P2 by 2. Now, it has to do with that subset idea. We'll go into it in a minute. When order, it doesn't matter, it is actually called a combination. Now, if you have the in-class notes here, you have to turn them over right now and find yourself a blank page, okay? If you have them with you, just turn them over for a sec. I'm going to give you this problem, and I'm just going to group you for a second, kind of arbitrarily. I'm going to have you four work together. You, Evan, you go back with this group and, change it a different. Actually, you guys go together, okay? Chris, you're going to come up and you five are going to be together. We're going to be 5-4-4 today. Okay, you and your friends, you cannot cheat on this one.
I have a question about this one. Why is it 16P2?
Well, because it's 16 people. Because I said that says if it's a class of 16.
I know that, but I don't get the two parts.
Because there are two people shaking hand at once? You're grouping people in pairs, okay? You and three of your friends go to Martinsville Pizza for an afternoon snack. Martinsville Pizza actually does not exist anymore. I don't think it does.
Pizza Brothers,
okay. You decide to get a large pie. Martinsville offers 5 possible toppings. How many pizza orders could be made? You're going to work in your group and see if you guys can figure out, and you're going to turn and talk. This is conversation, it's not a race. And see how many pizza orders you think there are. No cheating, please. Okay, so far we have a 32 and a 154 and it's still working. How'd you guys come up with 154, Ned?
We did 5 factorial plus 4 factorial plus 3 factorial plus 2 factorial.
That's a really good idea. Question for you. Does the order you put the pizza toppings on matter?
Yes.
Factorial implies the order matters, right?
NG.
Is mushroom and sausage the same as mushroom, sausage, and mushroom? Oh, I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Okay, but well, no, you're not. You're not actually showing.
You're using logic.
Oh, no, logic is what you're supposed to use. So you said, what does this represent?
This, the number of toppings on the pizza.
Uh-huh, 3 toppings.
So you start with
Oh, I like this. What are you guys coming up with? 29? You're missing two in here. Okay. Good job, guys. Good. Let's look at this from a very straightforward.
What was the answer?
It's 32. If you include a no topping pizza, it's 33. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. One, five, ten. OP. Oh, no, you're right. It does include the zero. Yes. One, five, ten, ten, five, one. Yes, it does include that one. You did. So 32 if you include the no topping pizza. 31 if you only include the one topping. You guys just missed one in this one right here. And I'll show it to you on the, I'll show it to you right up here. I do it on by hand for you up here. Some shorthand. I allow P to represent pepperoni, M for mushroom, S for sausage, G for green peppers, and O for onions. One topping. There are five one-topping pizzas. Everyone agree with that? Okay. Yes, P, M, S, G, or O. Now, if we go to the two-topping pizzas, I pair them up, but since mushroom sausage and sausage mushroom are the same, I get pepperoni. This is what you were talking about, pepperoni, with mushroom, sausage, green pepper, or onion. Then I have to take the mushroom, but I only have to combine it with the sausage, green pepper, or onion. Then I have to take the sausage only with the green pepper or onion. And then I last the green pepper with the onion, and that gives you 10 two-topping pizzas. You have that one? Yeah, you guys had those 10.
I have SGO.
Oh, don't worry about the little details.
Okay.
Don't worry about the little details. What?
No, I'm just trying to clean down.
That's okay. If it's not clear to you, though, it's probably not clear to a bunch of people.
No, I have like the 10 toppings, and I just must have done it different.
Okay. Oh yeah. Perhaps. Now this is the three topping pizzas. Here are my combinations: PMS, PMG, PMO, PSG, PSO, PGO. Those are the three toppings, and then throw in the MSG, MSO, and MGO, and then the last SGO. So I think you guys just missed one or two in yours. You missed two? Okay, and 10 three-topping pizzas. So we got 1, 5, 10. Now watch this. One no-topping pizza. 5 one-topping pizzas. 10 two-topping. 10 three-topping. 5 four-topping. You see the pattern? 1, 5, 10, 10, 5. And what do you think? How many five-topping pizzas are there? Well, there's only one five-topping pizza. So there are 31 possible pizzas. I forgot to include the one. And there is an easier way to do it, especially if you're going to an ice cream store and have 12 ice cream flavors and 9 toppings. Anyone ever heard of Pascal's Triangle? Pascal's Triangle, you've heard of it? Mr. Reichley, I know, talks about it. And Pascal's Triangle looks like this. We'll get to this later, but watch. What number did you have to go down to? Oh, but this is kind of easy to figure out, you know, because this row is 1, 6, 15, 20, 15, 6, 1. That's called Pascal's Triangle. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail of it, but do you see anything familiar up there? Okay, you're noticing that they add to be the numbers. I've got a great PowerPoint on this where they all, like, dot up together. Look at that. Do you notice anything else on it?
1, 5, 10, 10, 5.
Oh, look what's right here. 1, 5, 10, 10, 5, 1. What did we talk about? If order doesn't matter. Pizza toppings don't matter. What's that called again?
Combination.
This is the combination of 5 things taken none at a time, 1 at a time, 2, 3, 4, 5. The combinations of things from 0 to 5. What do you think this might be the combination of?
0 to 4.
Combination of 4 things, 0 to 4. Do you notice anything else about Pascal's Triangle? Any patterns? I mean, there's ones on the edge. Good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, right there along that line right there. Pardon me?
One, three, six, ten makes. It's like you add two, then you add three, then you add four.
Watch what I'm going to circle here. You can have so much fun with Pascal's triangle. I mean, well, in a very dorky, awkwardly math sense, but I love that. Look at the mirror right down the middle. 1, 4, 6, 1, 5, 10, 1, 6, 15, 20. How about this? I'm going to circle these. What does 1 plus 3 add up to be?
4.
What does 3 plus 6 add up to be?
9.
What does 6 plus 10 add up to be?
6.
What does 10 plus 15 add up to be?
5.
What would the next two numbers add up to be? These added up to be 4, 9, 16, 25. Tell me about the numbers 1, 4, 9, 16, 25.
Oh, they're squares.
They're squares. The next one's going to add up to be 36. Don't you guys ever think in patterns? Oh, you should always think in patterns. There are patterns everywhere. So if they're going to add up to be 36, what will the next number be? 21, and that makes sense because 15 plus 6 is 21. Cool. All right, we're going to stop here with the pizza example. You're not going to see any combination homework tonight. We're not going to get back to combinations till Tuesday.